Shall we begin?
You're listening to the Dishin' and Swishin' podcast on HoopFeed.com.
Hi, everybody. It's David Siegel, and then there were two. We finally have made it down to the WNBA Finals. The Indiana Fever knock off the New York Liberty. The Minnesota Lynx advance. They were the number one seed out west by knocking off the Phoenix Mercury, and we're ready to break it down. And, you know, I've got two guests with me, two coaches that, if not for an eyelash here or there, a little more health, and we could see them playing in this WNBA final. Mike Tebow of the Washington Mystics. Hi, Coach. How are you today?
Great. Thanks, David.
And Brian Agler from the Los Angeles Sparks. Coach, good to have you, too.
Thank you, David.
Well, you know, let's start right away. Mike, you know, you were that close. Prince hits a really tough shot. You know, you had just a couple of breaks. Did it surprise you that New York came out in last night's game the way that they did? They seemed a little bit flat from the beginning, and, you know, Indiana just took it to them from the beginning.
I was surprised that they didn't have kind of the same energy that we saw when we played them. And I don't know if that was a reaction to what had just happened to them, you know, 2 days before that. I think that, you know, it looked like they were trying to play themselves into the game a little bit. And, you know, when you're in a game like that, you're trying as best you can to go for the knockout punch. But, you know, I mean, I don't know what their preparation for was, what their game plan. But, you know, they took a pretty tough shot. I mean, we went through that in Connecticut my last year there. We had won game one. We had a big lead in game two, crazy sequence of events at the end of game two, and we never recovered in game three. And, I think more, you know, the longer I'm in this, I think it's more the psychological part of this. It's the anxiety of players. It's all those kinds of things as opposed to maybe the physical part.
You know, and Brian, when you look at Minnesota, you know, they took Phoenix in two. You know, granted, there was some controversy in that last call, but, you know, a small consolation that you guys took them to three and really controlled game two. You know, were you surprised that Minnesota was able to deal with Phoenix, you know, really as strong a performance as they put on in that series?
Well, I think Minnesota finally got the full strength, you know, in the playoffs. And you look back at their regular season, they went through some adversity there with injuries and people being out and those things. And I think they just got into a rhythm. You know, we felt like we had a chance in our series, but, you know, when you don't have home court advantage, it makes it a little bit more difficult. It takes teams that have an extreme mental toughness to withstand that. And, you know, we just didn't get to that point this year. But to answer your question, it didn't surprise me at all. I think Phoenix had a really good year for the people they were missing. If you look at their roster, though, and their statistics on Phoenix, they caught breaks this year in regards to, besides Brittany Griner being out the first seven games, every single one of their players played in every game. And having a healthy team in this league and in the playoffs is very important.
You know, Brian, one thing I did want to ask you, continuing on that vein, you know, if anybody knows about the difficulties of plugging in an addition during the middle of the season when you're trying to get things done, and that's you, with, you know, Parker coming in late, Dabovic coming in, you know, once the season had begun, missing time with Christy Tolliver as you were trying to do things. Now you look at Minnesota, and you talk about them starting to click now, but they added Fowles during the season, who was a totally different post than they're used to using, instead of having a Taj or a Janelle McCarville who stays at the high post. Can you talk for a second about how difficult it is to try and get somebody like a Sylvia Fowles and then the injuries, trying to get everything integrated and on the right page in time for the playoffs?
It has its challenges, there's no question, and a lot of it has to do with the lack of practice time. You know, I don't know how their practice and their game situation was when they added Sylvia. And a lot of times you make those tweaks and you make those adjustments during practice. It's not real easy. And they've not really ever had a player like Sylvia before. They've always had post players that play face up. So as much as it's been a good addition for them, and as much as, you know, you're adding a great, talented post player that impacts the game at both ends of the floor, there are some challenges to that in regards to how it affects your spacing and those things, because she's not going to move too far away from the basket. So they had to make some significant adjustments. And if you ask them right now, if they're going to be honest with you, they probably haven't figured it quite out yet. You know, I'm sure it'll be into next year before they really figure out how to play with her. So, yes, it's a challenge. There's no question.
You know, Mike, you've had similar circumstances, too, when you've made the additions and subtractions and changes for various reasons, and including the, you know, your team got it bad with the injuries this year. The East, though, beat the hell out of each other all season. And I don't think people realize that, even looking at Indiana and saying they're a third-place team, their record was as good as second-place Phoenix in the West. So, you know, there's a lot of talk about this being a big upset, Indiana beating New York, but this Indiana team was tough for really the second half of the year. In particular, they turned it on and really were starting to play with a lot of confidence and getting everybody slowly integrated back into their lineup.
Well, I think there's a couple factors. Number one, they kind of got their group enough experience with all the injuries they had early, right after the All-Star break. I think they won 9 out of 10 right after the break. As Brian can attest, I think the turning point for their season is they went on that West Coast trip and won 3 games. And that's a hard thing to do. They were all, you know, tough games, and I think it gave their team confidence. And then I think just in general, you know, Indiana, you can't underestimate the amount of experience that they have at key positions. I mean, you're talking about a team that has maybe the toughest mental player in the history of our league in Tamika Catchings. And then you have a situation where, you know, she and Zealous and Larkins and January and Poland have all been through this now 5 straight years in the conference finals, and they've won a championship together. And you can't underestimate that. That experience and toughness gets you through a lot of things. And because they played a tough schedule, and, you know, this is the first time in a while that people, you know, finally said the East measured up to the West in many ways. They were mentally prepared for these kind of situations long ago.
You know, both of you have been in the playoffs many, many times over your career, two of the most winning coaches in the history of the league. It always still amazes me in a short season that you get players like Larkins, like January, and like Zealous in particular, to name three, that just really know how to amp it up and play that much better come postseason time when it's on the line, that mental toughness that you mentioned. Mike, is there anybody else, anybody that you've coached over the years that you can think of that just come playoff time, you know, that's it. You know, they just do it a little bit better than they've done through the rest of the season, and it makes such a difference.
Well, I think in my early years in Connecticut, we had those kind of players, and one of them, in Taj McWilliams, did that for several teams. You know, through the bumps and bruises, and as old as she was at times, she could play big in big games. Part of it is she was mentally tough, and part of it is she had a calm demeanor. But, you know, Katie Douglas and Lindsey Whalen and all those people, I mean, they've had success as much because of their mental toughness as their physical. And, you know, it's carries over. I just think that, you know, I mean, I don't have the same number of teams to draw on experience as other coaches may have. But, you know, for me, those players stand out.
Brian, how about on your side?
Well, I think Sue Bird and Lauren Jackson always had the ability to raise the level. Tanisha Wright, I was a little bit surprised last night. She just didn't look herself last night. And I agree with what Mike said. I think game two really shocked them mentally. because I think they probably walked out of there thinking, you know, we had an opportunity here and we missed it. And at the, on the flip side, I think Indiana just got a shot of confidence, you know, with the way they came back in one game too. But, you know, Swin Cash always had the ability to do that. And she showed that a little bit last night. You know, she was one player that was real aggressive from start to finish in the minutes that she had. But it's those high level players, the ones that, you know, have played internationally and the ones that have, you know, have longer careers, they learn how to get themselves up. They know how to lead a team. I agree with what Mike said as well. Indiana has one of the special players ever to play the game in Tamika Catchings. And she influences the game on both ends of the floor. And without her leadership, consistent as they've been. Now, that's not to take away from anybody else, coaches included. I think that Lynn did a great job with them, and Stephanie's doing, and her staff is doing a great job right now. They put a good team together. Kelly Crosscoff has put great people around Tamika. But I would have to say, if you measured and asked all the coaches in the league who are some of the more mentally tough teams in the league and physically tough teams in the league, Indiana would be one of those teams that they would mention, I think, across the board.
Well, now I'm going to put you guys in the locker rooms a little bit. And, you know, Mike, so we're talking about Catch. If you're Minnesota and you've got Maya that usually playing at the three spot, Brunson at the four, what are you going to do to try and get Catchings off her mark, get her so that she's not hitting those consistent shots and making consistent plays?
Well, that's an interesting question. But I think, I mean, obviously I think Brunson will probably start on her the way they've had their lineups. They're almost forced to play that way. And the adjustment that Indiana made in the New York series was that they, after game one, played Tamika on the perimeter a lot more, facing up, driving it, you know, letting her be, you know, kind of the assist person. I mean, many of the threes that Indiana knocked down were actually off of Catchings' penetration. So I think that's going to be one of the harder things. I think that they're going to have to, you know, probably try to stay home as best they can on three-point shooters and, you know, help with the other post, whether it's fouls or whatever, to kind of clog up the lane and see if, you know, Larkins is going to be a factor. Larkins, you know, was very good in the last two games, but fouls is a little bit different animal as far as size in the lane and how she'll bother things. But I think that, you know, they're going to have to take away that penetration for drawing kick threes. I think that's the thing that Indiana beats you on, is that, you know, you overhelp and now all of a sudden they're knocking down shots. I mean, Coleman, Shanice Johnson, whoever it is a big thing. And then I think when you prepare for Catchings and you prepare for Indiana, you can't give them extra possessions. And, you know, Catchings is on the floor for every loose ball and every rebound, and that's Brunson's strength. If Minnesota has one thing they can do to neutralize Catchings is, you know, Brunson can try to neutralize her on the rebounding end of the floor and maybe even get some advantage by getting extra possessions for Minnesota at the other end, you know, and try to wear Catch down a little bit. You know, at least going into game one, both teams will be well rested, so I don't think fatigue is going to be a factor, but that could, you know, bear out as the series goes on.
You know, you mentioned one thing that yesterday I had noticed that it kind of surprised me a little bit, is the way the catching was driving and attacking like that from the perimeter. I was surprised that New York didn't make any adjustments to pull Tina off her and really maybe even go with a conventional lineup with Charles at the center position instead of going with Stokes and Swords, because, you know, you're absolutely right. Catch was going right by Tina sometimes on some of those drives and some of those crossovers.
Well, I mean, their only other solution, though, was to play Swin Cash at the floor, and I just felt like Bill must have figured that their rebounding was better the other way, or they could clog up the lane with height and length in the lane. I mean, that's what Stokes has done for them all year, and I'm sure that that's part of the game problem. It's, you know, it's a little bit different. I mean, everything's about matchups in this league when you see certain teams who can beat other ones and you say, how come? Well, you know, if you get the right matchup or you get the right defensive alignment that you like, then it works. You know, each team, Minnesota will present a different kind of look to Indiana than New York did, and vice versa. And, you know, I think that becomes a factor. That would have required Swin playing a lot of four yesterday.
You know, you're absolutely right. And, of course, you know, had New York just made some of those chippies inside from Stokes and Swords, you know, we could be having a different discussion, too.
Yeah, I mean, they missed eight layups at the rim between Tina and Swords and Stokes and even some of their guards in the first half that would have probably made it an even game at halftime.
Yes. Now, okay, Brian, now let's put you on the other side. You know, you do have one of the greatest defensive players of all time in Catchings out there, but you do need her on the board, so are you going to put her on Brunson and try and defend Maya Moore with somebody that's more perimeter-oriented, or do you try and put your best on their best?
I think they'll put Tamika on Rebecca Brunson and let her sort of roam away and help on people. I think if you put her on Maya Moore, she'll wear Tamika down, chasing her all over the floor. Maya not only is a great scorer, but she's one of the better players in the league, might be the best player in the league moving without the basketball. And she's constantly on the move. As soon as you let up, just gradually, she's going to flash right past you to an open spot. She'll break a play just to get an open look. And she has the okay to do that. I mean, I think they encourage her to do that. So I would imagine, unless it's, you know, coming down to the guts of the game and they need a specific stop, somebody on Maya, you might see Tamika on her at that moment, and you might even see her on it at just on and off during the course of the game. But I got to think that would be a lot for Tamika to handle. Now, that being said, I believe Indiana defensively is as physically and mentally tough as there is, and their rotations are quick and they're aggressive, and you know they'll stunt certain things. They'll defend pick and rolls in different ways, and they get quick rotations. So they'll try to defend Maya, you know, with more of a team dynamic than maybe individual.
You know, and Minnesota certainly has suffered from the injury bug, and nobody is still really sure how close to 100% Lindsey Whalen and Simone Augustus are. They haven't looked like themselves, although they are still playing, of course, at an extremely high level. But, you know, When you knock them down a peg due to injury and you put Breon January, Shanice Johnson, and Marissa Coleman in the mix and their shooting ability and ability to drive to the basket, it is another factor that's going to have to be considered. So, you know, if you're Minnesota in this case, Brian, Sylvia Fowles down blocking shots may end up having more value than, you know, you had even anticipated when you got her to try and take on Griner.
Yeah, you know, last night they were setting the pick and roll with the screeners back towards the baseline and then roll real quick, and New York didn't rotate over quick enough to get Larkins at the rim, and I think that they'll be ready for that. Both teams set some of their pick and roll action that kind of way, so it'll be interesting to see how each team defends that. But you would have to think if they can keep Sylvia at the rim, she's going to affect things at the rim for Larkins. And I also think that in regards to Simone and Lindsey, you know, I think a couple of things. I think they're getting older. They've got a lot of wear and tear on their bodies, and they've had a long season. They both have sat out here of late to get healed up for the playoffs. But even in our series, I thought that Simone really played well in game one, and as the series went on, she wasn't quite as effective. And the other thing with Simone, she's going to be better at home than she's going to be on the road. I think the crowd energizes her and helps her get through some maybe the hurt feelings that she's going to have throughout her body. And the same thing with Lindsey. So the home games to me are going to be critical. I think I would have to pick Minnesota going into this only because they have home court advantage. And if any of those teams can win a road game, they're going to have a huge advantage in that series.
You know, Mike, you know, when you look at Minnesota, Cheryl is notorious for not playing anybody anyway except their starters. And their bench doesn't have the depth that an Indiana's does. What kind of factor can that be in a series that when we mention Indiana, we mention the physicality, obviously, banged up players on the link side, you know, what kind of depth is that gonna have a major impact on this series? Or, you know, at this point when there's this few games left, you know, you count on the people like like a Brunson and them to step up and just, you know, get through everything.
Well, I think Brian can speak to this as well as anybody, but my impression was is that everybody talks about Indiana's depth and bench, but most coaches shorten their rotation at this time of year, particularly the farther you go. I mean, Brian will tell you that they won their championship in Seattle last one with basically 7.5, 8 players, and, you know, Minnesota is doing that right now. They're playing 7 players, but Indiana has come up with a different formula. They basically play 9 players in the first half and 7 players in the second half of games. Last night there were no other subs in the second half besides Zealous and Kaiser. You know, Achanwa didn't play. You know, and I think that that's the comfort zone. It's the same amount of rest now between games for everybody. You know, it's not a different schedule for everybody. And I think that the depth thing might be a moot point if both teams are basically going to rely on 7 or 8 players. The difference I see is that Indiana is a little bit younger at some of the perimeter positions. And right now, to me, just as an outside viewer, and, you know, Brian saw it up close, they look quicker than Minnesota does right now. But with a week of rest, Minnesota may have a whole new bounce to them right now coming back come Sunday.
I think that it's going to be a great series. And let's just talk lastly about the coaches for a second. You know, Cheryl has been there both with Bill in Detroit and now with her own team in Minnesota. She's proven that she can do it. She can win. She knows how to juggle players, keep them happy. She's less of a player's coach in terms of she's not afraid to get in their faces while Steph sits there and smiles and nods. But both of
don't go by that.
But I was just saying, but off the court, they're both loved by their play. They're both loved by their teams. Both are successful. And but you know, when you first take over as the head coach, as Stephanie White has done this year. Now, granted, she did an awful lot of coaching when Lynn was there. We know that Lynn has said as much. But the way that she adjusted during the season, starting out coming in, you know, really pushing the offensive side of the things and then realizing after a bit of a struggle that Indiana's based on defense and they got to get back to it, was, to me, was very impressive. Mike, I thought that she did a great job, and, you know, no taking away what Bill did, but I thought that Stephanie White was the coach of the year this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's a hard one. I'm not going to argue that one point. I mean, you could make a case for either one of them. What Stephanie did is, first of all, I give Lynn credit because a year ago she knew what was going to happen and she let Steph kind of get a head start on it. And I think it really helped with that team. If you noticed at the end a year ago, Lynn would let Steph do a lot of the huddles and draw up plays. And I think that was a great thing that Lynn Dunn did to get the players used to that. What I thought Steph did also was, and because we've played them so many times this year, we played them in the exhibition season, we played them 5 times during the regular season, is that I watched what she did with training camp and how she, you know, tried to get rest for her veteran players early in the year. She juggled Achanwa coming back and forth. She juggled Larkins' knee injuries and tried to figure out a way to get all their young people experience and prepare them for the playoffs. I mean, I think, you know, the longer you're in this business, you figure out that, you know, what you want to be doing is playing your best basketball at the end of the year, provided you get in. Now, you got to get in. It's hard enough to get in the playoffs. But I thought she did a really good job of kind of finding that balancing act of preparation, rest, and improvement. And I thought that was impressive, you know, watching them throughout the season.
But, Mike, you did beat them 3 out of 5 games this year. So
yeah,
we'll make sure that stays on the record.
Well, we have pretty good matchups. I mean, you know, the East was that way all year. You know, everybody that had teams they couldn't beat, and there were teams that they could beat. I mean, we were able to beat them in New York. We couldn't beat Atlanta this year. We struggled with Chicago at end of game. So, I don't know. It's a lot of it's about matchups, too.
You know, and Brian, let's talk about Cheryl Reeve for a second. You know, whenever you go into battle against Minnesota, it's not just about the talent, but also about the way that she manages a game and gets, you know, she also, you know, takes advantage of the fact that there's not a lot of practice time to get her players game time. A little bit of a different approach, but, you know, it's always tough when you play against Minnesota. What kind of intangibles does she bring as a coach?
Well, I think she has a lot of experience in these situations, number one. They've been there for the last 5 years. And like you said, she was in Detroit when they had a lot of success there as well. They've got it's a really tight-knit group because the coaching staff and the core players have been there for years. And a lot of those people went through some difficult time. You know, the first year or two, they didn't get in the playoffs. So they've gone through a little bit of that. I think they value and understand how important this is. And in regards to their coaching, I think she's as good as there is. I think she probably did one of her better jobs this year because they did have some injuries. Usually they've had a lot of health going their way. This year it wasn't quite that smooth. So with Lindsay out and with Simone out and adding Sylvia, you know, they've really done a good job finishing first in the West, and then I think it's helped them advance. But they've got a good nucleus of things in regards to their offense, but she's continually trying to tweak that and make adjustments and make improvements that way. And you also have a player in Maya Moore who's steadily improving as a player. I mean, she was a great player coming in, but she's turning into being one of the top two or three players in the world at this moment. She's still pretty young. So as you can see, she's having some unbelievable games right now, and she's turning into being one of the most difficult people to defend. So with, you know, with Cheryl and Jim and Shelley, they do a great job. There's good chemistry there. There's good chemistry amongst the coaching staff / players. And then obviously there's a lot of strength among the ranks there with the players. But Cheryl, she'll also change things up defensively. You know, they've showed some zone in the past. They've shown some traps in the past. You know, she'll figure out what they need to do and try to take away some of the strengths that Indiana has.
You know, and we would be remiss. You know, and thank you for mentioning the assistant coaches on Minnesota.
Yep, same thing in Indiana.
Yeah, we definitely have to mention Kloppenberg and Gail Gostin, of course, have done a phenomenal job, you know, helping a young head coach with their unbelievable skills that they've honed over years in their craft too. So Mike, Brian already said that he's taken Minnesota because of home court. What's your thoughts on the outcome of the series?
Well, I'm an Eastern Conference coach, so I'm going to root for the Eastern Conference team, though I don't know. I think it's going to be very, very close. I would have said a couple days ago, watching Minnesota play, that I thought the physical struggle was getting to them. I feel like Indiana's a little bit younger, a little bit fresher. But with a week off to prepare, I'm going to say it's dead even, but if I had to pick one based on what I saw a couple years ago when they played, I would give just a slight edge to Indiana right now. But home court, as Brian said, may be the determining factor.
You know, Mike, give me one person other than you know, the obvious Catchings and more that you think could have a strong impact on this series that people should look out for.
Well, I think for Indiana, it's Shanice Johnson. I think that was a great pickup for them last offseason. We had looked into trying to trade for her the year before. I think what she has done is lifted their team defensively. You talk about getting one more person that fit in, and I think she's going to be tasked with chasing Maya Moore around screens. I think they'll run a couple people doing it. I think you'll see three or four. But I suspect that she's going to be that person who has to, you know, try to slow down Maya. And I think if Shanice has a good series, that could be a difference maker for them.
And, Brian, who do you think?
Well, I really like the starting group Minnesota has. I think it's an elite group, obviously, with their pedigree and their background, but I think a key player for Minnesota has been Anna Cruz. I think she gives them some athleticism off the bench, some speed, quickness, her ability to score a variety of ways, whether it's penetration to the rim or hitting a crucial three or just up pressuring the basketball. I mean, she gives them a live athletic body off the bench that knows how to play, and she's got a lot of experience herself. So I think her impact could be huge. I agree with what Mike said. I think one thing that happens in the playoffs is the bench shrinks. Like in our series with LA, they played seven players, and that's all we played. And I think that's what will happen. I could see Asia Jones possibly coming in. I could see Renee Montgomery coming in and giving them a little bit of time. And they may need Renee with the type of pressure that Indiana can put on you just to rest some people. Devereaux Peters really had a good game three against us. She and Crew probably were the difference makers in our game three. We sort of tried to neutralize some of the starters, and those two really hit some big shots. I also think that I think it's going to be real interesting if Indiana goes to 8-9 on off their bench at any point in the game, how they will maintain their play. I think that if they can stay in the game when they sub that deep, I think they'll have a great chance to win because that'll keep their people fresh down the stretch. But if they happen to drop off when they go 8-9 against a real veteran Minnesota team, it could, even if it's in the first half, it could be the difference in the game.
Excellent points. Guys, let me hit you with two last things, general topics, before we go. First, I would be remiss if I didn't say, let's hope the referees don't impact this series like the end of the Phoenix-Minnesota series. And I know the kind of answer I'm going to get, but, you know, I have to ask the question. Mike, we'll start with you on this one. The league came out and made the statement after the foul with Quinn and Moore saying that it should not have been called. One thing I did not notice in that statement, though, was if they ever said it was a foul. They just said it shouldn't have been called. What do you think about the league trying to get ahead of a situation like that? And, you know, to me it was still a wishy-washy kind of statement.
Well, I think, first of all, they're trying to mirror the NBA in that regard. The NBA has made a point the last year to talk publicly and try to be transparent about end-of-game situations that have become controversial. And while I applaud it to try to do that, my feeling is, and, you know, I've voiced this, you know, in league stuff, is that you have to be consistent then. I mean, there are games all the time that have, you know, controversial endings. And if you're going to do it for this one game, I think you're setting yourself apart. I mean, I'd like to see it, you know, we had two games this year that ended that way. I'm sure every coach can say that. And if you're going to make statements, then, you know, I would like to see it be made for other ones. I don't know that that's going to happen or not, but I think that, you know, that would be my first thought about it. And the second part is for the actual play. You know, I told Cheryl this, you know, when she asked me what I thought. I said, you know, it's one of those situations I wish it hadn't happened that way. You would like to see it decided differently. But on the other hand, we've all had games end like that one way or the other. And, you know, I remember a playoff game several years ago. I think it was San Antonio. I don't remember who they were playing. And the official, I know, would like to have taken the call back, but Becky Hammond was whistled for a foul that didn't occur. It was an anticipation one. And, you know, you hate to see a playoff game like that, but as coaches, we feed our families by every game. And, you know, a game here and there that end that way are tough, and it tends over the course of a career, I've decided, probably to even out at some point. But it's you know, an unfortunate situation. I can't comment beyond that. It's really hard, you know, to even, you know, to see. I mean, I wasn't 5 feet away.
Sure. Brian, anything to add, or are you just going to say, yep, I agree?
Well, I just think that, like Mike said, the league's trying to be transparent. You know, I think everybody goes through those things during the course of the year. Sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't. And I know the fans in Phoenix are really disappointed. I know the players in Phoenix are really disappointed that the game wasn't extended. But, you know, it's part of the game. And, you know, it's just time to move on. And right now it looks like we've got a great series coming up. And it'll be interesting to see how this thing plays out. I think it's going to be really competitive, this championship series.
And one final question, and this time, Brian, I'll ask you first so Mike can get off easy. You guys have both been around for a long time. Compared to when you first started getting involved in the WNBA, compare the league now to where it was then. do you think the league's in better shape, players better, facilities better, just overall? Is it a better league than it was back when you guys first joined?
I don't think there's any question. I think there was an elite team back in the early years in the Houston Comets. I think they were head and shoulders better than everybody else at the time, and they sort of proved it. As time has gone on, I think, you know, it's balanced out. I can attest right now, I don't think there's an easy game in the league right now, home or away. I mean, you have to be ready to play every single night to have a chance to make the playoffs, and you have to have some things go your way. It's extremely competitive. It's not quite like college where some of the elite, you know, the Power Five conferences, you know, they're going to have a certain number of games on their schedule where, you know, it's going to be a no-brainer. It'd take, you know, a lot for them not to win a game. So it's a little bit different that way because every night out, it's extremely competitive. And it has a lot to do with two things. It has a lot to do with, I think, the coaching's improved. And I also think there's no question that the talent level has gotten a lot better and it's much deeper. There's a lot of really good players that don't get a chance to make our league. And a lot of it has to do with timing and being at the right place at the right time. And now you're also seeing some spectacular talented players really come to the forefront. There's some really good and slash great young players in our league right now.
And, Mike, what do you think?
I agree. I mean, bigger, faster, stronger, better players. I agree. You know, the league has changed. The rules have changed since we've come in the league. And I think that, you know, I think there's a couple things for all fans to remember. You know, people are quick to criticize our league for various things. It took the NBA 20 years to reach the attendance level that we have had for several years in our league now. We're not quite to 20 next year. So I think that, you know, we live in a time of instant gratification, and we forget, you know, people say, well, you've had franchises move and this and that. Well, so has every league. The NFL did it. The NBA did it. So I think that, you know, there's a maturation process that every league goes through. The facilities are better. I mean, you know, in the time I was in Connecticut, a practice facility was built. We're going through something in Washington now where we're going to have our own practice facility with the Wizards and our own arena. You're seeing more dollars invested in the league. The TV contract and the viewership is going up. And, you know, I think that we're going to see, I mean, just the fact that we have 10 teams, I think it's 10 teams in the league with marquee sponsorships for the jerseys, that there is that awareness in the business world that we're making progress. And so, you know, not just from the athletic side of the game, the players, but I think that the league itself has become more professional. It doesn't feel like a minor league. It feels different right now in how things are being done. And I think that's, you know, a lot to go forward with.
Gentlemen, I agree with you completely. I think that your analysis of both the league and the officiating and the series are all spot on, and I think that we are going to have a great series to enjoy. And then it'll be on to the college season and you guys hitting the road and going to see everybody that you could get next year. Thank you again for taking time today. I appreciate the hard work that you guys put in all season. Congratulations on outstanding seasons for both of your franchises. And I'm looking forward to seeing what two healthy teams in the Sparks and the Mystics can do next year.
Thanks, David. Appreciate it.
Thank you, David. Thanks, Mike.